Welcome to CivCast, a civilization podcast focused on its social media platform. Shushu62.
WWJDFAKB.
Troy D.
With guest co-host.
Random User.
Well, I think we're all noobs here, too, so...
I definitely
I've never done anything like this before, so...
Yeah, me neither.
I assume I'm here for comic relief.
Oh, I thought that was my job.
Oh,
dang.
Well...
I figure it's like Three Stooges.
You guys are so analytical, and I'm just like, haha, boobs. You know, so...
You said, I have to admit, I never tried that strategy.
Welcome to the second Civ World podcast. It's a new crew. My name's Doug. I'm Shushu on the forums. And if you're ever in a game that some crazy person decides to attack everybody on the first day, it's probably me, although I am getting a following, so it might be somebody else crazy. Melissa is the reason we're all here, because she strong-armed us all into it, and then we strong-armed her.
No, it's your fault. You begged me.
Yeah, on my knees. Anyway, she's the weather goddess in my stories, and I met Melissa must be 5 months ago. Somebody was talking trash on the global chat. I trashed back, and the next thing I know, I had favorable weather for all of my battles. It's a good thing to have the weather goddess on your side. She's also a member of Team Nazgul, which if you see a bunch of people on one team all looking like Nazgul, you can run and hide because you're going to have a tough game. Troy is Treebeard in my stories because he joined one of my games that was pretty far along, and he and his Ents stomped out all the orcs, both Sauron and Saruman, before helping us win. It turns out that he seems to do that a lot. If you've got Troy in your games, you will find lots of people saying, "Hi, Troy," and they'll be on all sorts of different teams, and they'll all join in battles. So Troy, like, knows everybody who's who in Civ World. He gave me a nice long resume. I'm not going to read it, but he's very involved in Civ Tavern, and if you go there, you'll see a lot of postings by Troy. If you watch one of Troy's games and watch what all of his teammates are doing, you'll never look at the game the same way.
We're fun. We're very fun. And we are the Chaos, and we have the name for a reason.
Yes, he is Team Chaos, and it's huge. And his games are chaotic. They are very pleasant to talk to after they kick your butt in battle. But that's because the battles last 6 hours, so they've been chatting for
so they're all a little slap happy by then.
I've tried to explain this, okay? I'm in a wheelchair. I sit 12 hours a day. I don't have a problem in front of the computer for 8 hours on a battle. I have patience. People are going to lose.
And our special guest, some random user from the forums, who I don't know if any of us have played, but based on his last posting, we all want to see him go up against the Nazgul and see which one wins. This is the beginners episode, so I thought we'd start the questions off with what recommendations do we have for new players? I get the feeling now that we are a core of folks who have been playing for quite some time. We know everybody who's a long-standing player. At least a third of the players in every game have been around for a while. And I know at least a couple of us are afraid that is chasing new players away. And so I was wondering what recommendations folks would make to encourage new players to stay with the game, to help them understand what's going on. And of course, we'll start with Melissa, because sailors first.
Well, I would say my first recommendation is to just ask questions and to find out from the more advanced players in your team what is possible, what should we do, and watch what those more advanced players are doing. be a good teammate overall when the more advanced players are asking you for something.
My first suggestion to people is don't think that it's Farmville. I know that some people, when they first start, they come in and they try and farm their cities because it's not exactly like Civilization where you can expand into other cities. You just have your one, and just building it up like a farm isn't going to get you anywhere.
Sure.
You have to team up with other players. If you don't team up, join a civilization, you're not going to get anywhere in the game.
Unless you're me.
You can't get into new battles. You know? Build any wonders or anything out there in independent land. So you have to join a civilization at some point.
So first off, let's point out this is one of the wonderful things about the game. Troy has had a lot of success. Melissa has had a lot of success. Ed has had a lot of success. I've had a little success. We all disagree on some points of the game. So that's
definitely
one key thing. There's no one way to play the game.
Well, you know, I think the first thing I would say is take the tutorial with a grain of salt because it kind of has a lot of information that isn't that useful. And I would definitely read the wiki. For those, since you are new, you probably don't know, but the wiki originally was not editable by anyone except for by the 2K staff. And it was pretty stale and didn't really go anywhere. And then magically, somehow they decided to allow people to actually edit it. And it got a lot better.
Link up at the top of the game.
Right. The person that's coming in, how do you win the game? Do you know that there are 23 errors, for example? You have no idea that there's 23 errors. You have no idea about how your ranking interacts with how many fame points you get. You probably don't even know that the person with the most fame points wins the game. And you might not even know that the game ends. Tutorial is really lacking in a lot of those respects. And I think that even though the wiki doesn't have all the information that you would want on one page, which is very unfortunate, it will at least tell you about the fact that, yes, there are eras, there are battles. These are the various things that happen, and you can actually win the game.
My personal advice, and I was having a conversation with Vorlon on the Civ Fanatics website about this, and he basically summed it up, is that 6 months ago, this was a game where everybody was new, and you join the game, and you have a good chance of winning if you're anal, like those of us on this call. Nothing personal.
Right.
I love you all.
I love to win. Sorry.
But it's now been 6 months, and there are a lot of people who just play this and are very good. If you're new, you're not going to win. The game has changed to where it's no longer, at least your first couple of plays, a game that you're playing to win. It's a game where you're, think of it as a race. You're running a 10K with 10,000 other people. You're not running that to win. You're running to improve yourself. Really, when you lose that first battle, and I guarantee you, you will lose that first battle, and you won't have the faintest idea why you lost that battle or what was going on, and you'll feel like you totally screwed up, and then you'll want to quit. Well, okay, enough about me, but that's all true for me.
I don't know if I've ever lost a battle. Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding. I've lost at least one.
I don't have
two.
To worry about battles anymore. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Losing a battle is actually sometimes a winning move. A lot of things that you think may be right may not be right. Or a lot of things that you think are stupid may not be stupid. And one of the things I posted a while ago, which is one of the reasons why I think that Civ World has a huge amount of potential and is a really cool game in a lot of respects, is that one move made at the right time can win a game. And that exact same move made just a little bit earlier or a little bit later could really, really screw up your game. And a lot of it comes down to figuring out what to do and when to do it and in what order to do it. And so that's where a lot of the complexity, I think, why a lot of people who've stuck with the game really like it, is that it's not a trivial game to figure out when you should do what. The thing about barbarians is that they randomly spawn after the game starts. And I actually have a theory that they have a chance to spawn any time that the mini wonders cycle. But I have no proof of that. I just coincidentally noticed that one time barbarians came about very close to the time that mini wonder changed, which I guess if you're a newbie just means that at the top of the culture screen where you can build wonders, there are three things that you can build, and they are three of eight. And they, rather than being permanent structures which allow you to advance your civ in some way, they provide a one-time benefit, and they cycle approximately every 2 hours, a little less than two every 2 hours. So when the barbarians spawn, kind of like in the regular Civ games, they threaten your civilization. And if you go and beat them with sufficient force, whoever has committed the most overall strength over time will receive a prize. And they generally receive one population up to population eight. And if they have more than population eight, then they instead receive 2,000 food. But the big thing to realize is that in the early game, when I look at sort of prices, I generally peg them to great people because I think great people are one of the most important things. So whenever I reference a price, because you have inflation as you go through the game. And so if you reference it basically as to how many great people an action will get you, net you, or lose you, it's a good way to sort of judge how good that action is over time. If you're going from size like 5 to 6, I think that's the equivalent of 2,000 food to be able to achieve that. And then your food goes to zero and you have to start over, up to almost 4,000 if you're trying to go from 7 to 8. So being the person that kills the barbarian and getting that population boost is worth somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 food. And food generally goes for like 200 to 300 in the early game. So you're looking at like 5 to 10K worth of benefit for that action. One analysis that I would do then is like, say, if I have to buy 1,000 production worth of troops in order to secure the MVP, which means that I'm the one that's going to get the prize, then I'm basically paying 1,000 gold in order to receive 5 to 10,000 gold. And that's a great, great action to take.
One thing is also is that a lot of people, when they come in, they sell their militia. And militia is so cheap that you can build 40, 60 units to kill barbarians really easily.
Right.
I just want to point out that for those of you newbies who just listened to Ed explain all that, that's why you're not going to win the first game. Because Ed does that math in his head. I do that math in my head.
Right.
Melissa just does math on beakers in her head. So, and Troy just brings in four or five more teammates. So
it's effective. It's effective.
There are different ways to do it. But I would sum up what Ed was saying is, if you kill barbarians, you get free food.
If you have the most strength. That's very important.
Yes. You have to be the most important person who kills the barbarians. The baddest boy on the block.
If you want to prevent that and you're outside of that particular civilization, you can send your own troops in, kill them before anybody has a chance, and deny anyone the benefit of the barbarians.
Right. And if you do that as a beginner, nobody will talk to you.
I love killing barbarians. I can't help it.
I didn't think you were a beginner, though.
No. I loved it back then also, though.
If nothing else, it makes for a less cluttered battle screen.
Like exactly.
Indeed.
I must admit, when I play, I have filled a screen and a half with just my battles. But
yeah, I've seen you at work.
Yeah, man. But you're weird.
One of the strategies is you move from civilization to civilization whenever a barbarian pops up, which I believe is on a 24-hour clock. So once they pop up at 4 o'clock, they're very likely to pop up at 4 o'clock in that civ. Again and again and again.
It's also tied to battles. For some reason, when a battle starts or is about to start, the barbarians will invade.
Well, I wouldn't know because I've always got battles starting. But anyway. You can hop around from the civs. Now, that's an important thing to understand. Once you join a civilization, you're not stuck there.
Very good point.
If they're pissing you off, you can go join somebody else. If you decide that going around killing other people's barbarians to get their food, you can go do that. A lot of people like to do that. One warning is that every time you jump, you have to wait longer before you can jump to the next civilization. So after a few jumps, you're going to be waiting hours before you can change civilizations, which is one of the reasons why I personally do not hop barbarians, because I like to take over civilizations.
First jump is free, and after that, it doubles. It goes an hour, yeah. Two, four, eight, four. And then
yeah,
12.
So I'll do that three or four. After that, I don't have the patience. I want to get in and do maces.
I generally don't like my timer going more than two or four as well.
Well, shoot, that's only a couple barbarians.
Three barbarians. I mean, assuming you can get to five on your own, that gets you to eight right there. And eight's kind of that 39-10 from seven to eight by getting a barbarian is just, it's really a big jump. Because one of the other things for all the newbies, in case you're wondering, well, why does this all this population matter? It matters, of course, for your harvest. But more importantly, it matters because every 5 minutes, there's something that we call trickle. And your trickle rate is based in part by the population that you have. And it's independent of anything else. So basically, the bigger population you have up to size 16, the more stuff of everything that you're going to get per 5 minutes. And it can really add up.
Trickle is really important.
And let's talk about harvests here too, because there's a harvest limit where your trickle stops. Unless you're saving up to take the interior minister position to send to the rest of your teammates, you really should keep your harvest below 24. Not low. I try to keep mine about 22, 23, so I can keep some trickle going on.
Right. And usually if I'm going to be off for hours, like at night, I'll reduce mine down to 10, just because I'm not going to get those.
Uh-huh.
Right. Because going over 23 is just really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like really bad. And that's something a lot of people don't realize because it's not well documented and the tutorial doesn't tell you.
Yeah. Now, when you're just starting out, you can feel free to take all of your harvests. But as you play the game longer, there are a number of advanced reasons why you might want to store up your harvests. It seems like a simple thing. I get a harvest every hour. Or is it 3 hours? Why is it 3 hours sometimes?
It depends on your game speed.
It also depends on if you're over 24 or not, because they do slow down.
Yeah, they slow way down after 24, and that's when your trickle shuts off.
I like the slow games because you guys all play this game to win. New players aren't going to be able to play this to win, at least not their first time.
Unless they really get lucky and find us.
It depends on how you define winning, though, right? They'll win in that they can be in the top civ, but it's unlikely they will be at the top spot.
Right. They'll also be very unlikely to understand that they're winning. They can see their civ doing well, but they won't know why. They won't know why they joined their right civ. But all of you guys also play for reasons other than just coming in first. And I was wondering.
Just kidding.
Yeah, well, other than the guy who says he's quitting because he's bored with winning, the rest of you guys all have other reasons for playing this game that don't involve winning. And I thought it might be useful to go into why would I play the game if I'm not going to win? What other reasons do you guys play for?
Oh, gosh. I meet a lot of friends playing. You know, my guild, it's mainly why we're together is because we all like to play together. To use your Treebeard name, I do call, and they come all to one game, as you saw in that one game. And we have multiple nations inside a game because we have so many people show up.
Right. So one is definitely the social aspect. For folks who go, God, I don't want to have to make friends to play. I feel your pain. I am in that camp. And despite my best efforts, I'm making friends in this game. So
you don't have any choice. you have to team up with someone. When I started, I was playing it sort of like Farmville. I played like three games before I realized there's no way to do anything unless you join a civilization.
Troy keeps saying this, but I will state that all of my success in the game, other than the second game I played, every game I've won, I've played by myself. So you can play by yourself. And quite frankly, for me, now that I'm playing with the advanced players in games where we're just steamrolling the opposition, I win. That's one of the great things about this game is you can go it by yourself. I mean, Ed is a small team guy.
So. Right, right.
The game is constantly evolving. 6 months ago, I played solo in a bloat sieve, which is a basically any loosely non-aligned big sieve, and was able to win that game just because I knew what I was doing and I was able to pick my sieve very well.
Usually there's a few people in those that are a little active, trying to get everybody organized, and they're not getting anywhere.
Right, but you know, I've also found that a lot of people consider that if they are in the sieve and the sieve wins, that they are winners, even right. if they don't get the 25 sieve bucks for being in first place. If you're with those people, then you're not going to actually piss anyone off. You help them win, and they're happy to ride along. And you don't have to be an expert to give that guidance. A lot of times when you know you go into a sieve that has 20 or 25 people or something like that, and you look and two people are in horse breeding and one person's in mathematics and two people are in democracy, talking about mazes here in science. And you know, if you could actually just convince two or three people to actually go into the same tech at the same time, all of a sudden, hey, now you got an arrow win, or at least someone got a great person out of it, and now you've unlocked the arrow win science tech that's next.
Right.
When in the beginning of the game, a lot you'll see that there's a lot of activity because a lot of people think that they're going to be in the winning sieve and or they're going to win. And then they lose a battle and then they say, hey, maybe I'll check out this other game or my friend's playing this other thing. I'll go check it out. And there's a big snowball effect where unless you're against an organized team or some people that are really dedicated, that a few small victories up front make a lot of people sort of check out in other sieves. And when those sieves go inactive, then you've basically won the game by default because you're the only people that are still in the game.
Steamrolling.
The thing is, you don't even have to steamroll. You just have to give the appearance that you're about to steamroll.
Exactly.
I will say that is one of the things that's changed recently, because at this point, there are so many return players that almost no games go completely inactive. The last couple of games I've been in with Melissa, where from day one, it was clear we were going to win. There's more to the game than just winning the overall game. There are little small victories that you can get. Little small successes. Some people like to show up just to win one battle. Some people like to do the puzzle swaps. I was waiting to give Melissa a chance to say, what do you like to do, Melissa?
What do I like to do? I like the mazes. I like the mazes. I do like the puzzle swaps as well. So those are fun. I save them all up, and then I go and hit them when there's a contest, for sure.
Right. So playing the mini games can be fun. And for...
mini games are fun. My team is so very active. There's always something going on.
My kids play the game. My son loves doing the mazes. My daughter just likes setting up her city to look good.
She likes cows.
She likes cows. She likes to make her people happy. Can play this game on a less serious basis.
I mean, we're going to have to play with your kids sometime.
I like to have fun. Our last baby game was fantastic. It was so much fun.
Yes, playing with kids. Ed, you said you've done everything there is to do, but I got to point out to you. But until you've played with kids, there are two things you haven't done yet.
It's herding cats is what it is.
I'm used to that. That's great.
Well, I want to clarify that, though. I didn't say that I've done everything that there is to, because actually there's a ton that I haven't done. I think that I've just learned everything about the game that I think that I wanted to learn. Yeah. And there's a big distinction between the two.
Yeah, okay. So here's something you haven't learned yet. Go on the forum and say, I, random user, am playing in this game and see what happens. You'll have a lot of people showing up to play with you.
Exactly.
And that's a trip. At first, when I did it, the first day I did it, I went, oh my gosh, what have I caused to happen? My playing experience has completely changed as a result of it. And I wouldn't take that decision back now because of it.
It's hard for me to play in a game just as an individual, because when people see me, you know, everybody sees me and then they go, oh, well, we can just join Troy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fine. You know, I'm used to that.
Oh,
Civ World is a social game, it also attracts people who really like to play complex games. So it's a very complex game with a lot of social aspects, and you can play it for the social reasons, you can play it for the complex reasons, or you can play it for both. We recommend the game because you will become addicted. Pushers of Civ World. If you find yourself going, oh, this game is stupid, there's only one way to play it, all sorts of things that everybody said when this first came out, none of it is true. This is one of the most sophisticated games, complex games you'll ever run across. I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but it's because it's the first Facebook game that's got a time span of a week. And it's played by humans, but it's not played by 1,000 or 1,000,000 humans. It's played by 100 to 200 humans. Ultimately, it's a game. A lot of people get frustrated, but if you talk, there's almost always going to be somebody friendly to help you.
We've mentioned this a couple times that I'm not playing anymore, but don't take that as a sign that I don't believe in the game. If you look at the number of hours that I've put into this game, it's been a lot. It's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot. It's been great meeting people. It's been great doing this. I think that it's a game worth checking out and sticking with.
Put in it what you want. You can take out of it what you want. I'm amazed by the caliber of the people that play it. And then there are kids, a wide range of players. I love it.
I now am convinced we could talk forever.
I know we could.
I think we could too.
You're never done learning.
Oh no, there's always something new. Anyone that says they know it all, they haven't been around long enough.
Also, poops. Well, I'm not doing video. I turned my video off. I'm sitting out on my deck, and it's dark out here. And there's no point.
I see. Okay, so this is going to be an audio thing. I thought it was also video. So.
Oh, no. Oh, God, who wants video? Great. It's the internet. No.
Perfect.
I've been playing out in the yard all day. I've probably got spiders in my hair.
Melissa would make us wear tutus.
Oh, yes.
No, I would not.
That'd be Terry.
No, that's someone else.
Boobs. Anyway, are we ready to start? Now, how do I transition from boobs to the introductions? Let's see.
I don't know. Bugs.
Well, we are.
Seems easy to me.
Yeah, I thought it might
penis?
Be fitting.
I don't know. Oh, you'll have to excuse me. Silk's just got cheap.
I make sure to turn the game off.
I just got the screen. It's a gold game with Douglas, and I can't help it. Shut up.
I don't think that's that relevant to this podcast, so hopefully it gets edited out.
Leave it
okay,
in.
Okay, can I take that?
I would leave that in.
Yes.
Since take this is going breath. To be edited. Thank you. I'll be right back, I promise.
That may have confused a lot of people. I apologize if so.
No, you're here to give people tantalizing tidbits of what's coming in future podcasts. Future episodes will explain everything Ed has mentioned in this podcast.
That's good.
Wow, it's up 100. I've got to sell it.
Yeah, yes, Doug, I just bought 100 silk in our game.
That's why she left the podcast, was to buy the...
No, I had to pee.
Well, I think that Civ World has a huge amount of potential and is a really cool game in a lot of respects, is that the same move... Yes, definitely.
I think that's the last word. Record date, April 15th, 2012. Civilization World Sounds Clips Copyright Take 2 Interactive.
Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.